want to welcome you to the greatest service on planet Earth, the Lord's Supper, communion. And one of the reasons why this is the greatest service is that God prepares us for this earth at the same time he blesses us for the earth to come. What do you say? So I want to talk to you about the resurrected body. I want you to think about receiving a resurrected body. You ever thought about that? Anybody in pain? Huh? Pain ain't gonna last always. Because this service tells us that God has a resurrected body for us. He's got them in all sizes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us what we need, for doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and then empowering us that we can keep this body for you, this mind, our emotions, how we live for you, so that we can receive all the tremendous gifts, and one specifically is a resurrected body. So we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. Question is asked. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Unless it dies. See, in order for you and me to receive a resurrected body, God died. You ever think about that? That God stopped breathing. Have you ever thought about that? He who breathed the breath of life stopped breathing. Let's look at the medical physician Luke records this, Luke chapter 22, verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, what did he do? He breathed. What? God had to stop breathing in order for you to have a resurrected body. That's why he's second to none. That's why we worship him and him alone, because God stopped breathing for you. He stopped breathing for you. He stopped breathing for me. You know, estimates say there's anywhere from 55 to 56 million people die each day. But when Jesus breathed his last, it should change, it must change how we view death. See, his death provides hope. His death says that death does not have the final word. What do you say? Paul, the Apostle Paul, referred to death as an enemy. It's a thief. You know, and I certainly think of those who lost their lives this past Tuesday in Belgium, and those who are losing their lives to terrorism across this planet. But the cross of Christ calls us to deal with the reality that except for those who will be caught up at the second coming of Jesus, oh, I can't wait for that day, everyone on this planet will breathe their last. But at the same time, the cross reminds us that each of us have the opportunity to receive the awesome gift of God of eternal life and a resurrected body. And repeatedly throughout scriptures, Christ warned that he was going to die, but at the same time, he said that he was going to rise again with a resurrected body. Matthew chapter 20, he says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day, what happens? He'll rise again." Talk about that tension of death and rising again. Matthew 26, 1, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified.'" And then you go down to the 31st verse. He says, "Then Jesus said to them all that you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am what? Risen again, I will go before you into Galilee," and he's going to come with a resurrected body. Then you look at Mark 8:31. "He began to teach them, and the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed," his last breath, "but what happens? And after 3 days, rise again." Mark 10:33. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and scourge him and shall spit upon." Have you ever been spit on? Huh? Well, Jesus has, so he knows exactly what it feels like. He knows exactly what it feels like. And spit on and kill him. And what happens? On a third day, what'll happen? He'll rise again. And then Mark 14:28. "But after that, I am risen." So we keep having this tension of him breathing his last and living again. And then Luke 18:31. "Then he took upon him the 12 and said to them, 'Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall deliver it unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day," what? "He'll rise again." So Christ knew he was going to breathe his last. And the reality is, with the exception of those who will be alive at the second coming, all of us will breathe our last. Have you come to terms with that? Not in some morbid sense, but in the hope of the resurrection, with the resurrected body. Science and technology, they're uncertain. Every year there's a new theory about what happens when a person breathes their last. History and philosophy, they have no answer. But when Jesus breathed his last, he died for the sins of the world, that even in this mortal body, you and I can think like Jesus. Serious. Even when we are angry, we can still act like Christ. Huh? That's the good news. Isn't that the good news? For God so loved the world that he gave. No one took his life. He gave. No one took his breath. Christ gave his last breath so that you and I could have a resurrected body. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me that God would allow himself to stop breathing. Can you comprehend that? I can't. He who is the Alpha and the Omega. He who breathed the first breath stopped breathing. So that you and I, as our focus is, can have a resurrected body. He saved us. Jesus saves each part of us. He saves our mind so that our mind can be transformed and we can think like Christ. He saved our emotions so that we can be healthy emotionally. He saved this physical body so that we can serve the living God of heaven. We are saved from the penalty of sin. Isn't that a blessing? That's what this service is about, that we don't have to fear death, that any sin that we have committed in the past, and we got that backed up. Look at Saul of Tarsus. Huh? That was a terrorist. Wasn't he a terrorist, Saul? But look at, he got saved. His mind was saved, and he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. His body was for the service of the Lord, and we're saved from the power of sin. We are really saved from the power of sin. Romans 3:25 tells us that God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by what? Faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. God says that I can transform any man, any woman, just like that. Just like that. And it's interesting. He says, Romans 6:12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your what body? He didn't say, don't let sin reign in your resurrected body, because that would make sense. He's saying right now on planet Earth, you can get in your car, get cut off, and not show somebody a finger. Huh? That you could be in, has this ever happened? You're in line shopping and someone just cuts in front of you and you got to go. Hello? Like, that's never happened to you. I guess somebody does your shopping then. Well, for those of us who do shop, sometimes that happens. Folk will cut in front of you, and you are on a timetable, and that's where the Christianity really sets in. What do you say? So he's saying, even in this body, that the Holy Spirit can work in us from head to toe. And see, the way we get that resurrected body, we got to let God live in this mortal body right now. Right now. Oh, I like what he said. So Paul was preaching to the Romans. And then Romans chapter 8, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. We're free. And then he tells the Ephesians exactly what we're free from. Here's what we're free from. We're free. We're free. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We're free from grieving the Holy Spirit. What do you say? With whom you have been sealed from the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Amen, Pastor. You're free. You can get rid of your bitterness. Anybody got any bitterness? Yeah, some of y'all, I see you bring it in here. You got a suitcase of bitterness. Huh? You got bitterness from 1980. Serious. Rage and anger. Right here. You don't have to keep that rage and anger after this service. Huh? Because if you do, you're going to split hell wide open. Because there ain't going to be no fighting in heaven. You realize that? All you're going to see is peace, peace, peace signs, you know? We're talking about, what are we free from? Free from brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. We're free to be kind. We're free to be compassionate to one another. We're free. God gives us the power to do something that we struggle to do, is forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave who? Who did God forgive? That's right. He forgave us. We're free. We're now free. God cannot leave this to ourselves. He has to get in us. that God guarantees his disciples a resurrected body. He didn't leave Jesus, his son, in the grave, and he will never leave anyone who trusts in his son. Death does not have the final word. Christ conquered death. He conquered the grave, that you and I will have a resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 6:14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. He will also what? Raise us. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you will live. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? God guarantees his disciples. But the question is asked, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Oh, a resurrected body. It's not the same body. We won't have the same body that we have now. A resurrected body is not a repaired body or a renovated body. We will have a resurrected body, and our identity will be known. A resurrected body can't be found exercising in a gym, but you'll receive a resurrected body if you exercise your faith in the Lord. If you keep your body now for Jesus, he'll give you a resurrected body in the earth made new. What do you say? God gives different types of bodies as he pleases. The birds of the air have their body. The fish of the sea have their body. The animals on the land have their body. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but a resurrected body is specially crafted for you. A resurrected body. What is a resurrected body? Well, a resurrected body is a body that can never be destroyed. I don't know about you, but I want to get me one of them. A resurrected body is a glorified body. A resurrected body is a powerful body. It's a spiritual body. It's an eternal body. It's a body that will never catch a cold. It's a body that will never have pain. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't you want a resurrected body? A body that will never be fatigued. Jimmy, you can go to many mountains all you want, all through the universe, and that resurrected body will never get tired on you. I'm talking about a resurrected body. I don't know about you, but after I breathe my last breath on that day when Jesus tears open the heavens, I want a resurrected body. After I breathe my last breath, I want one of them bodies that'll never be destroyed. After I breathe my last breath, I want a resurrected body, a glorified body. After I breathe my last breath, I know God has a body for me. But not just for me, but for everyone who says that they love Jesus. God has a resurrected body for everyone who will trust him. God has a resurrected body for you. So I don't know the pain you're going through right now with this body. I don't know the tensions and stresses you're faced with this body. But you just keep living by faith, and God will give you a resurrected body. Huh? A resurrected body. Let's close your eyes for a second. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be 6'2 with my resurrected body. I don't know how much I'm going to weigh. I'm going to leave that to God. What do you say? All I want, God, is that body. So this body, so that resurrected body can be close to Jesus. That with my resurrected body, I can look at Jesus face to face. With this resurrected body, that if Jesus says, you know what, I need you to go this part of the universe, I can just go, and I won't even need a plane ticket. I have a resurrected body. Lord, we thank you for loving us, that giving us the power that we can serve you with this mortal body. And as we, when that day comes that we breathe our last breath, you bless us not only with eternal life, but you bless us with a resurrected body. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I don't know, if someone outside the church right now would like to receive a resurrected body. If you'd like, just raise your hand. I want a resurrected body. Thank you, God. You know, in order to have a resurrected body, you gotta give this body to Jesus. You got to say, Lord, here I am, all just as, and God says, come as you are. Just come with the body you got. You don't have to go work out. You don't have to go start reading scripture. You can come to Jesus right now with what you got. God's in the business of transforming. You know that? I don't know. Is there one who would like to join the church today? Man, woman, boy or girl. I see a hand, elder. Is there another? Receive that resurrected body. That resurrected body. And that's what this table is all about, that we can have forgiveness of the mess we do with this body so that we can have a resurrected body. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that you have given us, that you gave yourself all. And again, when we get to heaven, if you just give me like about a century that I could talk to you, I need about 1,000 years. No, I think I need about 10,000 years just to talk to you. And I am humbled that you would breathe your last, that you would stop breathing, just so that I can make heaven, just so that I could have the body you have, the thoughts you have, the emotions you have, the behavior you have. So, Lord, we thank you, and may we be ever transformed by what we, why we do next. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and we all said, amen. Amen.